call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. It is a couple of minutes after 9 o'clock. We have Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Egan. We expect the rest of the members to be coming in. Chairman Stedman is on travel status. We have four bills on the agenda today. Senate Bill 184, the supplemental budget. Senate Bill 130, the Alaska Native Language Council. Senate Bill 135, continuance of criminal trials. And Senate Bill 65, first hearing the Senior Citizens Housing Development Fund grant. When we finish these bills, we will continue overviews on the capital budget. House Bill 104, the Alaska Performance Scholarship, was originally on the agenda. We were going to adopt the committee substitute and pass that bill out, but I've been informed that the governor's office would like this bill held in committee at this time. With that, we have Senate Bill 184, the FY supplemental budget. This is the first hearing on this bill. It's the intent to have the OMB director introduce the bill on behalf of the governor, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further consideration. We will not be going over any of the capital items. We've been joined by Senator Thomas. With that, Ms. Karen Rayfield, the director of OMB, please come forward, identify yourself, and begin with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the committee. For the record, Karen Rayfield with the Office of Management and Budget. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 184 this morning. This is the FY 2012 supplemental requests. I understand that we're going to be talking about all but the capital sections of the bill. So I'd just like to start with some broad overview statements, and then we can walk down. Perhaps the spreadsheet would be the quickest way to walk through that. Mr. Chairman, the bill before you totals just a little over $97 million, of which $78.5 million is unrestricted general fund. The agency operating supplementals that are included in the request before you total $38.9 million, of which $30.4 million is general fund. And this includes the type of things that you see on an annual basis, fire suppression, disaster relief, some formula requests specifically under the Adult Public Assistance Program. There are also two significant settlements that we'll touch on that total $38 million. The University of Alaska's optional retirement plan settlement at $20 million, and the Moore case involving K-12 education at $18 million. The bill itself contains 18 sections. Sections 1 and 2 are the operating numbers. Sections 3 through 5 are the capital numbers. And then Section 6 begins the language section of the bill. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to switch to the supplemental spreadsheet that you should all have in front of you. There are, I think, on your version of the spreadsheet, there are some handwritten numbers down the left-hand side of the page, which would refer you to the backup page numbers. I'm going to be using the column that just is basically a row line number, so that hopefully we'll be on the same line as I go through these particular items. And then, of course, if you have questions, please ask as we go. Mr. Chairman, the first and second lines are requests that you do see on a fairly regular basis for the Office of Public Advocacy and the Public Defender Agency. Both of these programs are very much caseload driven. In the FY 2012 supplemental for the Office of Public Advocacy, we've requested $800,000 in general funds. We've also submitted a budget amendment for this amount in the FY 13 budget. On line 2 of the Public Defender Agency, we have asked for $1 million in the supplemental request, and also have included a budget amendment for the FY 13 budget for your consideration. On line 3, $150,000 is being requested in ADA receipts having to do with the financing tools that ADA is designing and developing. They are short being able to complete that work this year, and your approval of that request would assist them in getting that work done. Lines 4 through 7, Mr. Chairman, have to do with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, their Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. These four transactions are designed to help alleviate some of the challenges that they've had in that particular division. The largest component of that is on line 6, which is a request for one-time fund change from their program receipts to general fund. And the reason for this request, Mr. Chairman, is that for a number of years, the division had incorrectly charged the professional licensing boards for indirect costs that should have been allocated to their business licensing fees. What this will allow us to do, if you approve this request, will be to carry forward then professional licensing into the next year's budget, which will help keep their fees that they charge for their various boards at level. Otherwise, they would have to be increased for the FY13 and FY14 two-year cycle. So this is an unusual request. It's a one-time request, and this will address the overcharging that has occurred to the professional licensing boards. On line 8, Mr. Chairman, is a request under the Department of Corrections for inmate transportation costs, $867,400. This is a one-time request for population management that they have incurred in the current year. On line 9, there is a $600,000 request for community jails funding. We've also requested $600,000 in budget amendments that have come before you. Going on to page 2, Mr. Chairman. Line 10, there is a request of the Department of Education and Early Development for $1 million having to do with their statewide student assessment systems. These are specific contractual costs that the department has in the current year. We've requested an additional $750,000 in the FY13 budget that's pending before you as well. On line 11, for health and social services, for continuing work on the Health Information Portability and Accountability Act. This is $80,000 in general fund and $720,000 in federal funds for a total of $800,000. And this will help us with our medical care transactions and programming costs, and this is a one-time item. On line 12, we requested $627,500 for the McLaughlin Youth Center. These are specific medical costs incurred by youth that we are serving in those facilities. This is a one-time item. Line 13, Mr. Chairman, is $1.1 million in federal funds for the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Act. These are revenues that are available due to an increase in the Alaska TANF caseload. This is a one-time item. Line 14 is $2.6 million in general funds with adult public assistance. Again, this is caseload-driven. We have included an increase of over $6 million in the FY13 budget to reflect the increased caseload. Lines 15 and 16, Mr. Chairman, have to do with the Low-Income Heating Assistance Program and the Alaska Affordable Heating Assistance Program, $928,700 on line 15, and $1.7 million on line 16.
Karen, when was this last assessment made for the determination of these levels?
Mr. Chairman, these numbers were provided when we introduced the supplemental bill on the 15th day. I know that the department is looking at those numbers and will give us some updates, but I don't have new ones for you.
Thank you.
Line 17, Mr. Chairman, is $350,000 in program receipts having to do with clinics for newborn screening. We've had greater volume in parents bringing their children in for screening, and this will help us to continue that effort. Line 18, Mr. Chairman, and we do have an FY13 budget amendment pending for that particular item. On line 18, we have $140,000 requested for chronic disease prevention and health promotion having to do with tobacco, obesity, and diabetes programs. This is federal authority for the program that is available, and it's a one-time item. On line 19, under epidemiology, again, $30,000. And this is also a one-time item. This is for a specific health assessment and child immunization funds. On line 20, under senior and disability services, we're requesting $250,000 in federal receipts having to do with home and community-based Medicaid waivers. This is also a one-time item. Page 3. On line 21, Mr. Chairman, under the Department of Labor, we're requested $168,000 for Workers' Compensation Benefits Guarantee Fund, and this is due to increased legal costs, and we have also included this in an FY 2013 budget amendment that's pending before you. On line 22, under the Department of Labor, for the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, we're requesting your consideration of a fund change from program receipts to $250,000 in general fund to support the ongoing training programs at the Department of Labor down at Avtech. There are higher costs associated with those expenses, and in order for Avtech to be able to continue those training programs, they're requiring general fund assistance. On line 25, Mr. Chairman, Department of Law, $3,116,000 of general fund for oil and gas outside counsel. These are specific, attributed to three specific types of cases: tariff proceedings, TAPS, Trans-Alaska Pipeline, property tax proceedings, and oil and gas royalty issues. We've also requested an increase in the FY13 budget of over $6 million to continue our efforts on these types of cases. Line 24, under the Department of Law, Transportation Section, $600,000 is being requested for litigation having to do with the fast ferry engines. We have had prior appropriations for this activity, and we have requested an increase in the FY13 budget to continue that effort. Mr. Chairman, on line 25, Military and Veterans Affairs, we had requested $300,000 for the base realignment and closure commission work. Of course, the department would like to get started on this as quickly as possible. In the bill that is coming to you from the other body, we've also requested that this be multi-year, so it would be able to be used through the next fiscal year. On line 26, Military and Veterans Affairs, the next several lines have to do with the match requirement changing basically at several of the armories, so we've included that fund switch from federal receipts to general fund receipts. On line 27, Mr. Chairman, the Bethel Armory operations, we're requesting $94,600, and this has to do with the operating funds for the Bethel Armory, and we also put forward a FY13 budget amendment for your consideration. On page 4, on line 28, there again for Military and Veterans Affairs, Eielson Air Force Base electrical usage calculation, we need to correct that calculation. It's a total of $105,100, $26.3 in unrestricted general fund and the rest in federal, and we've also included this in the FY13 budget amendments. Veterans Services on line 29. This, again, unrealized revenue coming in. So there's a reduction there of 95.8 and then an increase of 95.8 in general funds. Line 31, for the Interior Alaska Veterans Cemetery position, we're transferring a position into Veterans Service to help work on this project, and this $41,000 is needed in the current year to help with that. On line 32, there is a request of $39,200 for the Wishbone Hill Coal Project Health Impact Assessment, and this is going to be conducted in conjunction with the permit renewal process. This is a one-time item. Natural Resources on line 33 under Mining, Land, and Water. There is a request for $66,500 in statutory program receipts having to do with dam safety review at the Red Dog Mine. Line 54, Natural Resources, Mining, Land, and Water, offshore lease sales at Nome, $18,600 in general fund program receipts. This is for a monitoring contractor for offshore lease sales. Line 35 is our estimate of fire suppression activity. Mr. Chairman, just it's $4,892,500. This is our preliminary estimate of the amount needed for spring firefighting and the initial attack of wildland fires through the end of this fiscal year. Line 36, under public safety, state trooper detachments, we've requested $75,000 for 24-hour dispatch services in the city of Kotzebue. And we have also requested an FY13 budget amendment for this, for your consideration. On page 5, Mr. Chairman, line 37, under public safety, trooper detachments, we've requested $106,000 for prisoner transport. That was temporarily required while the city of Kotzebue Jail was closed. They have since reopened, but this was the supplemental need that was unanticipated. Line 38, public safety state trooper detachments, we're requesting $1.9 million having to do with the Bureau of Highway Patrol. Those funds are federal funds that come to the Department of Transportation, and then they are sent to the Department of Public Safety for their highway patrol officers. There's been a change at the federal level on what they will reimburse for DUI-related enforcement and non-DUI-related enforcement. We've also requested your consideration of an FY13 budget amendment so we can continue the same level of highway patrol. On 39, Mr. Chairman, public safety, Alaska criminal records and ID. In order to maintain the current level of service, we are requesting $200,000 in general funds, and we've also requested this to be considered in the FY2013 budget. On line 40, $150,000 is being requested for litigation support for corporate income tax. This is due to a budget shortfall in the first part of 2012. There are two cases requiring expert witnesses that were unanticipated, and this is a one-time item. Line 41, Revenue Treasury Division, Investment Management of the Power Cost Equalization Fund, $58,000 increase having to do with the size of the fund, the increased funding in the deposit that was made last year. And line 42, $850,000 for Department of Transportation, state equipment fleet having to do with the credit card fuel program. We have also included a request of $1.1 million in the FY13 governor's budget for your consideration. On line 43, transportation public facilities, central region, snow removal costs. Mr. Chairman, $85,000. We do expect that these costs have gone up. The department has, for snow removal across Alaska, is updating those numbers, and we'll be providing you with an amendment to reflect those increased costs given the winter that we've had. On line 44, there is $102,400 requested having to do with insurance requirements for rural airport maintenance contracts. Going to page 6, Mr. Chairman, line 45. Again, Department of Transportation, Anchorage snow removal costs at $200,000. We will be submitting a revised number for your consideration. Line 46 is for northern regions insurance requirements for rural airport maintenance at $120,100. Line 47, Southeast Highways and Aviation under Transportation and Public Facilities, $257,000 having to do with sand and ice control chemicals for winter maintenance. Line 48, $229,800 under Department of Transportation for Whittier Access and Tunnel. This is due to reduced revenue, toll revenues. And we have included a request in the 13 budget for your consideration. Line 49, Anchorage Airport Facilities. This is $625,000 having to do with the utilities and building maintenance for Kulis Air National Guard Base that is going to be available to the International Airport. We have included an increment request in the FY13 budget for this as well. Line 50, Mr. Chairman, purchasing of de-icing chemicals for the Anchorage International Airport of $1.6 million is being requested in airport funds. Under line 51, again for Kulis property maintenance, $375,000 in international airport revenue funds. And then finally on line 52 for the University of Alaska, federal receipt authority of $5 million for the receipt of Pell Grants, and we have included a budget amendment for your consideration on that topic as well.
So those are the supplemental requests on the operating budget. Do committee members have any questions on those items? Seeing none. Ms. Rayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think where we're going to go next would be to page 9 of 10, and it would be line 79. This would be in the language section of the bill, section 8, having to do with judgments and settlements. As I mentioned earlier, we do have two settlements, significant settlements, in the request before you. This one is $18 million for a settlement between the Department of Education and the Citizens for the Educational Advancement of Alaska's Children related to the state's educational system. And this will be for the fiscal years ending June 30, 2012 through 2017. There are specific requirements in this settlement for how those funds will be dispersed and the decisions that will be made through a joint committee. On line 80, Mr. Chairman, under judgments and settlements, there's a request for $20,770,800, and they're in your backup. There will be a list of all of the settlements, but the largest component of that is the $20 million having to do with the University of Alaska's optional retirement plan, and that settlement was agreed to, and we brought that forward for your consideration. On line 82, there are some scope changes specific to the Air Guard facilities maintenance to add some language into the Anchorage Armory roof replacement and G-wing preparation, so it modifies the title. On line 84 has to do with Air Guard facilities, and again changing some of the match rates on those particular projects. On line 85, Mr. Chairman, is under natural resources, has to do with extending the lapse date for permitting and right-of-way projects. On page 10, under line 86, this is a change in the international airport revenue bonds. That's basically a movement of between restructuring old debt payments. So there actually is some changes in the funding sources there. On line 87, we've requested a supplemental for disaster relief at $3 million. In the House version of the bill, there was an amendment to increase that to 5, given what we know now about the three existing storms and then also the potential for spring flooding and other activities that may occur between now and the end of the fiscal year. There are three ratifications requested before you for fire suppression from the prior year of $36.4 million. And two very small items under public safety, $152,000 and $2,200. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer questions.
Are there any questions on the supplemental as presented by OMB Director Karen Rayfield? Seeing none, we will be, is there anyone in the room that wanted to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll set this bill aside. And we'll go to legislation. The first bill that we have is Senate Bill 130, by Senator Olson regarding Alaska Native Language Council. This is the second hearing on the bill. We heard it for the first time on February the 15th. It's the intent today to bring the bill back for further review and look for the committee, the will of the committee. With that, Senator Olson, can you give us a brief review of what the bill will accomplish?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If, with your indulgence, I'd like to go ahead and have my chief aide that's working on this, Lauren Peterson, who's been the spearhead up there, go ahead and brief us on what's been happening so far. But so far, it's making good progress through the House. The companion bill is, and what it does essentially is set up a council. So, Mr. Peterson, if you come on up and present the bill, just an abbreviated portion of it.
Mr. Peterson, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and members of Senate Finance Committee, good morning. Thanks for reviewing this bill. I honestly just thought we were going to be voting on it, but I can give you an update as Senator Olson would like. In terms of the House bill, House Bill 254, it was heard in House Finance last week, and I'm sure all of you guys are aware of that. And it's been put aside for further discussion. However, from my understanding, we'd like to see that it does pass. There were certain concerns regarding the language on the bill with recommendations for a Bush Caucus member to be appointed by the chief and the Senate president. However, we'd like to keep that language inserted in the bill just to excuse me, just to secure the intention that a rural legislator is on the advisory council on both sides, on the House and the Senate.
Senator Olson.
I just want to go ahead and point out there's been a fair amount of support from both the local people as well as groups throughout the state of Alaska on this bill, and so we're urging you to go ahead and take a vote on this morning and pass it out of the committee.
Thank you for those comments, Senator Olson. Are there questions of the bill sponsor? Seeing none, there is one fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for $240,200 in general funds to cover the cost of staffing for the council and travel and per diem for meetings. With that, the will of the committee, Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate pass out Senate Bill 1, or the Finance Committee pass out Senate Bill 130 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 130 is passed out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. That brings us to the next item on the Senate Finance Committee's agenda, which is Senate Bill 135 by Senator French regarding continuance in criminal trials. This is the second hearing on the bill. We heard the piece of legislation for the first time on February the 23rd. It is the intent to bring this bill back before us and look for the will of the committee. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. My name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate. With me is Lila Hobbs, who is the staffer in my office assigned to this bill. I'm here really to answer questions that the committee may have. I'll note that since the last time we've met, the fiscal note on this bill has been replaced by an indeterminate note.
Can you give the committee a brief synopsis of what the bill accomplishes?
The bill is really designed to put some teeth into the constitutional right of a victim to a timely disposition of his or her case. Frequently we see lengthy delays in criminal cases, typically in the most serious cases. The more serious the case, the more likely there is to be a lengthy delay before a criminal case is brought to trial. We have used the Bonnie Craig case as a good example, where there was nearly 4 years between the time that the defendant, an eventual murderer, was identified between then and when the case actually went to trial. And the trauma and the distress that causes victims and their related family members is really hard to convey, except to say that it's significant. I know from my personal experience as a prosecutor that victims frequently experience great anxiety and stress as a trial date approaches, and to have it pushed off several times, it just is really, really hard for them to bear. This case makes a judge stop and consider and address the rights of a victim to have a timely disposition of their case every time one of these so-called continuances is asked for in court.
Thank you for that explanation. Do we have any questions of Senator French regarding this piece of legislation? If not, there are four fiscal notes in your packet. 10 fiscal note from the Department of Corrections, 2 indeterminate fiscal notes from the Department of Administration, 1 indeterminate Senate Finance Committee fiscal note for the Department of Law. The analysis of the original fiscal note was not sufficient to justify the need for an extra position. This closes the public testimony process. The desires of the committee. Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Finance pass out Senate Bill 135 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Are there objections? Seeing none, that bill is passed out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. The next item that we have for the Finance Committee's consideration is House Bill 65 by Representative Edgerman regarding senior citizen housing development fund grants. This is the first hearing on this bill. It's the intent to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. Representative Edgerman,
thank you.
Please identify yourself for the record and present your bill to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bryce Edgerman, House District 37. I appreciate you hearing House Bill 65. I think, as we all know, seniors comprise the fastest growing segment of our population here in Alaska, and the housing demands are certainly increasing as well. What House Bill 65 would do would allow our regional housing authorities to be more competitive in terms of being able to access the Senior Housing Grant Fund to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. It would do that by placing the housing authorities directly into Title 18 so that they could apply directly to HFC for the Senior Housing Grant Fund, as opposed to having to form a not-for-profit association or to find a partner as they do today. The bill is supported by HFC. It's certainly supported by the senior community as a whole. It carries a zero fiscal note, and it did not have any opposition in the House, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that explanation. Do committee members have any questions regarding this piece of legislation? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many seniors are affected, or do you see potentially affected, by the lack of this provision for these grants that are out there?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's a great question. Maybe HFC could possibly answer that. I guess just briefly, I would say that the seniors are about 12% and growing of the overall population in Alaska, so there's assumed it would be a pretty fair amount.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Olson.
And as you look at the distribution throughout the state of Alaska, where would this legislation primarily have its effect? On those seniors that are in the urban metropolitan areas or those rural areas?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, there are 14 housing authorities scattered across the state. Mm-hmm. And about half of them now actually went through that step of forming a not-for-profit association, but the other half, including AVCP, Kodiak Housing Authority, and a few others, have not taken that kind of onerous step to form a not-for-profit. So this bill would impact a pretty good segment of the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This is a priority piece of legislation for the Association of Alaska Housing Authorities, as I understand it. Are there further questions regarding this legislation? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on this piece of legislation? Seeing none, we do have people online for questions. But seeing that there are no further questions of the committee, there is 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Revenue for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Seeing no further questions, we will set this particular piece of legislation aside for further consideration. That brings us to the capital budget. Today we continue overview of the governor's capital budget, Senate Bill 160. We'll take a brief at ease for a couple of minutes to get ready for that. Senate Finance Committee back to order. We have this morning and this afternoon, we have five departments that we're going to be going through. Department of Natural Resources, Department of Fish and Game, the Department of Health and Social Services, the Alaska Court System, and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We left off yesterday with Department of Natural Resources with on page 41, so we will commence with the department on page 44. So with that, will the people from the Department of Natural Resources come forward to continue their testimony on the capital budget, Senate Bill 160, for the committee's review. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Jean Davis. I am the Director of the Support Services Division with Department of Natural Resources.
And for the record, my name is Jill Balash, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Natural Resources.
We'll start with Cooperative Water Resource Program, reference number 37762. This capital project allows DNR to accept funds from the private sector and local governments and pass them through to the USGS or the U.S. Natural Resources Conservation Service for as part of funding agreements for stream gauging and hydrologic data collection. If these funds are passed through to the feds by a state agency, then the state agency can match those projects.
Senator Egan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious why this has almost a threefold increase from historic levels.
Through the chair, Senator Egan, the Division of Mining, Land, and Water that manages this program has laid out the requests that they have or that they have been notified will be potentially coming forward for this kind of work and said that they need a large increase to accommodate it. Some of the projects that we have or that potentially go are, say, the Red Dog Mine, Usabelli Coal Mine, Pogo, Greens Creek, Falls Creek Hydro, the Pebble Limited Partnership, Haida Corporation, Copper Valley Electric, a wide variety of
Senator Egan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess most of this is because of increased mining activity and hydro development, hopefully.
Through the chair, Senator Egan.
Mr. Balash.
That is correct. Largely activity associated with mining, but also an increased focus on renewable power in multiple regions of the state.
Thank you, Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you. Land and Water Conservation Fund Federal Grant Program, reference 32552. This is a federally funded program that is a 50-50 matching grant and provides for development of outdoor recreation and facilities. The Department of Natural Resources Division of Parks administers that program. National Recreation Trail Grants Federal Program, reference number 6854. This is a $2.6 million federal grant program. Funds are distributed as an 80-20 matching grant for trail and trailhead development and maintenance and can be used for education programs related to trail safety and responsible trail use. Grants are awarded to a variety of organizations, agencies, and local governments. The National Coastal Wetland Grant, reference number 39042, is $1 $60,000 of federal receipts. This program provides federal funding that allows the state to enter into acquisition, restoration, enhancement, or management of coastal wetlands, particularly areas that are adjacent to legislative designated areas or state land, for providing access into those lands. The next project is the Alaska Land Mobile Radio Emergency Response Narrowband Compliance Project, reference number 54914. This is for $2,960,000. This project will allow DNR to convert to the narrow banding that is required by the FCC as of January 1st, 2013. And this affects all of our radio communications equipment in our Division of Forestry and Fire Preparedness Efforts, our Division of Parks, and our Division of Geologic and Geophysical Surveys when we have geologists out in the field. The next project is the Wildland Firefighting Aircraft Maintenance Project, reference number 54937. This proposal will allow the Division of Forestry to keep revenues that are collected from the rentals of state aircraft when we let them, we rent them out to the lower 48 for fires outside of our fire season. And we are in the process now of establishing a rate that we can charge, allowable rate for federal contractors. This, the money that would come into this would go into a capital project that will allow us to perform the regular maintenance that's necessary on these aircraft. The next project is the Large Dam Projects Application Review, reference number 54913. That is for $506,000 of statutory designated program receipts. And the purpose is to fund work necessary to issue certificates of approval for the construction and operation of large dams. We have two on the radar right now, the Red Dog Mine, and expected permit applications coming in for the Donlin Gold Mine. Our last series of projects is our deferred maintenance, reference number 51035. It is $4 million of general fund. We have nine allocations under this appropriation, one for the Division of Forestry statewide facilities, and eight for different park regions.
Could you explain the one for Woodtichick area, please? It's the one farthest away that gets the least amount of money.
Senator Hoffman, thank you. We have allocated $70,000 in general funds. This is going to fund repairs and maintenance at the Shelter Point Cabin, the Eagle Creek campground, and the Ranger Station at the State Park area.
Further questions? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, every year when I go back from Juneau, I hear about the DNR Wildland Fire Facility in Fairbanks. Building that is 1950 building, was a surplus building at the time, I believe, from BLM, and it requires a fair amount of maintenance. It's beyond, way beyond its lifespan, but it never seems to make the cut as far as a facility that needs to be replaced. Do you have some comment you could make regarding what your anticipated time frame might be to replace that building?
Mr. Balazs.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, we are uncomfortably aware of the facility needs there in Fairbanks and do have in our 10-year forecast the replacement of that particular facility. The process that we go through annually to determine each year's capital requests is a painful one that we all endure, but yes, in answer to your question, we think in the very near term that's something that needs to be addressed.
Senator Thomas.
Well, I appreciate your consideration of it. That's a long time frame to look at with the structure itself, but it is the probably the most important structure for the coordination of wildfires, at least in the major area of the state in the interior. So It just seems to me that that one would be a little more of a priority. But I guess as long as people struggle by with it, it'll keep being moved down the list if it ever even gets to the list. So I would encourage you to take a more serious look at it and see how it's impacting the potential responses to wildfires.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Further questions on the Department of Natural Resources capital requests? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at the five aircraft that are operated by the DNR, and you're saying they go out to assist in fires in the lower 48?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, when it is not our fire season, yes, we do.
And where are these aircraft housed?
Senator Olson, I would have to get back to you on that. I'm not sure where they're all housed.
Okay, and they're owned by the state.
Through the chair, the two PC-7s are owned by the state. The de Havilland Beaver is owned by the state. It's federal excess property equipment. And the Shrike Air Hurl Commander, we are almost ready to take title of. The other one is still under lease.
Get back to me where they're housed, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Further questions for DNR? Seeing none, thank you for that presentation. We will be moving on to the Department of Fish and Game. Please identify yourself for the record and continue with your presentation on the request, capital request for Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Kevin Brooks. I'm the Director of Administrative Services for Fish and Game. With me today, I have Charlie Swanton, our Director of the Division of Sport Fish, and on the line from Anchorage is Jeff Regnard, our Director of Division of Commercial Fisheries. The department has 15 capital projects that I'd like to go through this morning, totaling $25.5 million. About $15 million of that is GF, $9.4 million is federal funds, and about $1.5 million of other funds. It's Fish and Game and EVO's funds. So our first project, Mr. Chairman, is reference number 54418. $1,813,000 in general funds to implement an improved Kenai River King Salmon sonar assessment program. The project would expedite transition and implementation to a new sonar program to more accurately assess King Salmon abundance in the Kenai River. Our plan would be to locate this new sonar further upstream from the current sonar, run them concurrently for 1 to 2 years, and then take the old sonar site out of the river. That one is further downriver. It's impacted by tidal influences. Doesn't give us the precise counts that we desire, and we believe the new sonar site would do that.
Senator Thomas,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is kind of a general question. Are you familiar with the work that the Alaska Center for Energy and Power had to do in the Yukon River when they were placing their in-river generation? You guys had to give them permits, so they were studying the fish populations and they were also studying the migration patterns, and they found what I understood was some very helpful information to your department in determining just where the fish are in the river at various times as they're migrating. And I was curious if you had taken into consideration when you replace this new system that it maybe use some of that information to determine where placement may be. Different river, but some of the same characteristics, I'm sure.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomas, I'm not aware of that. Perhaps Mr. Swanton is.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Thompson, yes.
Please identify yourself for the record.
For the record, my name is Charlie Swanton. I'm the director for the Division of Sport Fish, Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomas, yeah, we are familiar with that work. However, the dynamics of different river systems and how fish react to those dynamics don't necessarily make a lot of that information transitional from one system to another, but it certainly could be helpful with regards to the work that we're doing on the Yukon. But direct application to the Kenai may not be adequate, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Thomas.
I understand that. I guess what I'm getting at is the more general concept of what they did to come to some conclusions as far as what takes place in one river, just the concept being applied to others that may be using the same theories behind what they use to determine that be applied to other rivers, especially if you're going to put new sonar in place. I guess that's more of a statement than a question.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our second project then is for wild and hatchery salmon management tools. It's $2.5 million of program receipts from the Limited Entry Commission. This project would partner with the private nonprofit hatchery operators to continue economic benefits provided by large-scale hatchery production both in Southeast Alaska and Prince William Sound. And our goal here is to address three questions. One is the genetic stock composition of pink and chum salmon in each region, the extent and annual variability and straying of hatchery fish and how they mix with wild stocks, and the impact on fitness and productivity of the wild stocks due to that straying from the hatchery stocks. Next project, Mr. Chairman, reference number 54420, distribution of Susitna River sockeye salmon migrating through the central district of Upper Cook Inlet, $625,000 of program receipts from the Limited Entry Commission again. The goal of this project is to better understand spatial and temporal sockeye salmon distribution of Susitna River drainage stocks from other Cook Inlet drainages. Next project, Mr. Chairman, is $789,000 program receipts from the Limited Entry Commission again for Upper Cook Inlet East Side Set Net Chinook Salmon Harvest Patterns. The goal of this project is to distinguish between Chinook and sockeye salmon in the East Side Set Net fishery near the mouth of the Kenai and the Kasiloff River. I would point out in this project that our initial project description contemplated fish and game technicians accompanying fishermen on their skiffs for sampling various nets. And as this project has evolved since the fall when we put it together, as we've talked with the gear groups down there, our current proposal would be to use radio telemetry, radio tags on fish, and then track them electronically. We feel that'll provide more precise enumeration and give us a better idea of how the fish are moving through that district, Mr. Chairman. Okay, no questions on that one. Our next project then is reference number 43347. It's $1,550,000 for multi-year research on Endangered Species Act candidate species in conjunctions with the Department of Law. Mr. Chairman, we have researchers in the Department of Fish and Game that provide information to the Department of Law for defending the state's interests in various potential listings. We have six sub-projects in this request that deal with Pacific walrus haul-outs, assessment of wolves in Southeast Alaska, assessment of flying squirrels in Southeast Alaska, assessment of stellar sea lions in Western Aleutians, population structure of stellar sea lions, and beluga whales in Cook Inlet.
Just for curiosity, why do we need the assessment for flying squirrels?
I wondered that one myself, Mr. Chairman. I think that the listing of flying squirrels could impact timber harvest, I think is what it could.
Impact what?
Timber harvest. And so if that species were listed, it could impact some of our, there'd be an economic impact to that.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you. With that thought in mind, we pretty much knew the answer to that. You know, it has to do with resource development. But do you prioritize the particular assessments that you're going to do as far as the rate that you spend the money and where you spend it at?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, yes, we do. We work very closely with the Department of Law in really responding to what their needs are for the information. Our goal is to preempt listing, and so if there are issues that are coming before us, that is where we put our efforts and resources, and these are the six that we know of right now that would require the most immediate attention.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Next item.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, is one that is a recurring item. It's $1 million in general fund for facilities, vessels, and aircraft maintenance, repair, and upgrades. We allocate $650,000 to our facilities for some of our smaller deferred maintenance items. We have another $300,000 for vessels. The department maintains six research vessels in the Division of Commercial Fisheries. And then we have $50,000 for aircraft. There's a total of 12 aircraft that the department owns that we maintain.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Brooks, I was just wondering at the aircraft portion, you have 12 research aircraft. What kind of aircraft are these? Do you have a listing of them?
Mr. Chairman, we do have a listing. I don't have it here. I know Mr. Regnert's online. He could probably address the ones that are in the Division of Commercial Fisheries, but I could get a list back to
Mr. Regnert, have you heard the question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Regnert, Director of Commercial Fisheries. In reference to your question on aircraft, I can speak to the four that the Division of Commercial Fisheries has. We have a two Super Cubs, a 185, and a Beaver, all located in Kodiak, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I
Senator Olson.
As you look at this maintenance that's gone on, there have been any accidents of these aircraft in the last year?
Through the chair, no, sir, no accidents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Next item.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, is $100,000. It's reference number 54422, $100,000 in general fund to replace the sound systems for the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game. We have our current equipment's over 10 years old. It's often fails, creates a lot of extra staff time and work, and it's important to the department because we do record these sessions. We make them available online and to the public when they request them, and it would help the proceeding of both boards to have new sound equipment.
Mr. Chair.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, reference number 47181. It's $3.7 million of general fund to replace the research vessel Resolution in Kodiak. This vessel was built in 1970, requires a large portion of our deferred maintenance budget to keep it going because of its age, because of its location and its work that it does down the chain. There's seaworthy considerations, and so we have put together requests that would use this $3.7 million request, as well as language that we've included in the capital budget to use the proceeds from the sale of the Resolution for outfitting the new boat.
Would that sale take place prior to the building of the new vessel?
Mr. Chairman, it would occur afterward. We would need to have used the Resolution until the other one was ready to go in the water. But there would be some retrofitting and moving gear from the old boat to the new boat afterward that we would use sale from the proceeds, or proceeds from the sale, I'm sorry.
Next item, page 16, Fish and Game.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is reference number 54426, $700,000 for deferred maintenance at some of our field sites for fish passages, counting and sampling sites, and weir facilities. Our first projects that we would do with this request would be at the Fraser Lake Fish Passage, Crooked Creek Raceway, Chignik Weir, And if money remains, we have some smaller sites on the Fog Neck Island. Mr. Chairman, the next item then is reference number 50951, $500,000 in general fund for eradication of invasive tunicates in Whiting Harbor and Sitka. We've been working on this for a couple years, and this would support efforts aimed at containment and eradication of this invasive species that has been found in Whiting Harbor. Mr. Chairman, the next item on the list is reference number 30432, $2.5 million for sport fish recreational boating access projects. It's $1,875,000 of general fund, or I'm sorry, of federal funds, and $625,000 of fish and game funds that we use to match these projects. Within our sport fishing federal allocation, there's a 15% set-aside requirement for these access projects, and this is an annual request that the committee has seen before from the department. The next item is reference number 33647, $7.5 million of federal funds for Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery. We've been receiving these federal funds for about 10 years now. The amount has been decreasing, and we expect it will go down to about $5 million in the next couple years. It requires a 33% match, and we require that of the recipients of the funds, that they have to bring match to the table to get projects funded. The overall objective is to ensure that Alaska salmon and salmon fisheries are sustainable. The next item, Mr. Chairman, is reference number 41451. It's equipment replacement and upgrade for wildlife research and management in their statewide programs. That's $200,000 of fish and game funds. The Division of Wildlife Conservation maintains a presence in 22 locations statewide. Types of things that we buy with this appropriation would be outboard motors and skiffs, snow machines, walk-in freezers, disc mowers, ATVs, those types of small equipment purchases. The next item, Mr. Chairman, is reference number 54771. $641,300 of EVOS funds for a sewered vessel washdown and wastewater recycling facility. And the trustee council will provide one-time funding to the city for construction of this facility at the harbor and sewered. EVOS funds would be passed through the city, and actually we have to receive the funds in the fish and game because it's EVOS, but we would RSA those to Commerce, and they would handle them as in their municipal grant program. And Mr. Chairman, our last appropriation is $1.4 million in general fund for our larger deferred maintenance projects. We have three allocations within this request. $800,000 is for roof projects. $200,000 is in some of our smaller field camps for some facility repair and upgrades. And $400,000 is for warehouse and workshop repair upgrades.
So, Mr. Brooks, there are no general funds requested to try to be proactive in the management of our resources to move forward on our constitution that we manage of our resources for the maximum sustainability. There is not $1 in here for general funds to try to get an additional salmon in any of the dying streams that we've had.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we have our first priority, $1.8 million for a Keenar Stonar.
That's an assessment tool.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we've been assessing and we've been studying, but there's nothing proactive in here to try to get one additional salmon in our rivers, in general funds.
Mr. Chairman, the projects that we have in here, as you pointed out, are for assessment and enumeration.
Mr. Further questions? Senator Olson.
Mr. Brooks, carrying on with that, our concern has to do with, and you've heard this before, our concern has to do, there's not enough being done within the Department of Fish and Game to go ahead and try and avoid what's happened on the Grand Banks on the Atlantic seaboard. We've already seen the devastation that's gone on there with the Norton Sound, with that fisheries that was very good when I was trying to get to college and was commercial fishing back in the 70s. There's been a decline in populations. And right now, the Unalakleet River, as was pointed out by one of our ardent overseers, Art Ivanov, has been saying that, you know, we need to do more that's out here. I think the lack of the capital projects that I see here to go ahead and get airplanes out there, to go ahead and do assessment, to do whatever else, I don't see a definitive way to go ahead and try and make it so that there is some type of a some type of program or a mentality even to show, to see that there are going to be continued escapement stocks in the future, so that we can have something for those commercial fishermen of the future, for those people that are out there trying to go ahead and live either with sports fishing or with subsistence. And so I guess I'm concerned that there seems to be the lack of vision within the department, and I would hope that with the young commissioner that you have, that we have, would see something that's there in the future, as opposed to continue on with programs and with issues and dealing with things on an annual basis, where you're just looking to the next year. There's no long-term vision to try and see, and I certainly don't see any programs here, especially with the capital budget, to try and make sure that we have the situation where we can point to somebody that ate the last salmon that went up the Unalakleet River.
Mr. Brooks.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I appreciate your comments, and obviously we've spoken about this too in the subcommittee process on the operating side. You know, I know I've asked Mr. Regner and Mr. Swanton here, anticipating we might want to get into a discussion on this. They're certainly more expert on what the department is doing in that area than I.
Mr. Regnart, have you heard Senator Olson's question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and not to go over some of the stuff that we have discussed in the subcommittee. You know, the department is very aware of some of the issues, especially in AYK, and we've been very fortunate through the legislative process to acquire funding for some projects that we would only be dreaming of 10 years ago. And those are ongoing. Some of them are going to result in hopefully new ways to approach management in the AYK area. Plus, they're on the general fund operating side, we do have a Tanana River increment in that we hope to provide additional data for the Yukon mainstem management. All this goes towards us trying to continue with our constitutional mandate to make sure that those fish are coming back. So we hear you. And we're definitely talking about it, and we're getting together in Bethel actually starting tonight for the next couple of days, and discussing it with ABCP, with the Summit of the Salmon, and we look forward to that opportunity to get some input from the locals. Mr.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Regner, with all due respect, as I look at the capital budget here, that's just several millions of dollars. I see only a small portion of that going toward any kind of program or thought process that's going to be increasing the fish that's going to be available in the future. And that's what I find that's disappointing and very concerning about what is the thinking over there. But I guess my real question is that next year at this time, when I'm sitting here at the Finance Committee, can we see more programs that are going to be proactive in trying to go ahead and make sure that we don't have another fishing disaster that's going to be creeping up the coast, as well as down the coast on the western side, especially even here in southeastern? Do I need to repeat the question, Mr. Regnard?
No, through the chair. No, Senator Olson. No, I was able to hear you, and we take that to heart. And I think that's, you know, I know that's part of what we're going to use as a process in developing potential new work, is some of the thoughts that the committee has been able to pass on to us.
Last comment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
I just want to go ahead and thank Mr. Regnard for answering the question. I will look forward to new programs next year with the capital budget here at the Finance Committee.
Thank you. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share the same concerns, and you and Senator Olson have expressed them very well. And I had just one minor comment or question, and that is on page 23, reference number 41451, if any of the funding in that particular request would be available for airboat maintenance and refurbishing in the Interior Rivers system, where the department does use airboats, and some of those do not have cabs on them, which is a fairly miserable operation in the hunting season, particularly in the September time frame.
Mr. Brooks.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomas. Yes, it would be available to the division for that.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Senator McGuire has been here quite some time ago, so the record will let her reflect that she's present. Senator McGuire.
Thank you so much. And through the chair, we just talked about enhancing our salmon stocks. And I would concur with Senator Olson and Senator Hoffman. I'd like to see more of that as opposed to the deferred maintenance of buildings. I know those are important too, but it's frustrating to see that when we are kind of at that precipice of losing fisheries throughout the state, and Cook Inlet as well, and Alexander Creek, I could dovetail on to some others. I'd like to see us focusing more on initiatives, and I know that there are places in Canada, other parts of the world, where they've faced declining salmon stocks and taken initiatives. So I'd like to see more in the future. But I guess my second part of it on the game aspect, I've worked with, and so has Senator Hoffman, with the Moose Federation, and been appreciative. They've taken criticism from folks, but I'll say this, at least somebody has taken on the initiative of regrowing our moose stock in rural Alaska in particular, where that is the mainstay during the winter months for protein. And to the and the other flip side of it in my district is getting the moose out of the high traffic safety corridors so that we can avoid some of these unfortunate deaths. I'd like to hear from the department whether you support the Moose Federation initiatives and what you're proposing, or why I don't see anything in here with respect to growing our game population.
Mr. Brooks.
Mr. Chairman, Senator McGuire. The department is working with the Moose Federation on some of their efforts, and so we have been supportive in those areas of trying to avoid the traffic cars and moose on the highways. Within our operating budget, we have a lot more of the efforts that you're talking about for wildlife conservation, whether it's in intensive management programs to maximize the harvestable surplus of ungulates, caribou, and moose for citizens.
Okay. Well, and
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. And just in wrap up, I think it'd be great sometime too, maybe, Mr. Chairman, if we could even just have a small, maybe half hour, 45 minutes at some point from the department on future initiatives. And it does strike me sometimes that maybe we don't guide you enough in terms of preparing the budget for next year. The administration certainly has its viewpoints. The governor, as the head of state, is advising you, but from the legislative perspective, instead of waiting until you come and then criticizing what we don't see, maybe a half hour or 45 minutes to talk about some of the things we'd like to see you work on in the interim to come back to us with respect to regrowing our salmon stocks and regrowing our moose, the food that sustains our culture.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments. I believe the subcommittee on fish and game, as well as the support at this table, is quite evident. The focus for the department should not be on studies and on tools for assessment, but we should be looking to be more proactive in getting more game and more fish for all of Alaskans, instead of spending time. We know that there are problems in diminishing populations, and we shouldn't be spending our time fighting among those resources. We should be working as a state to replenish them. And you know, I think that has been the direction and the focus of the last two budget processes, and I think you see that overwhelming support here at this table. Are there any closing comments before we move on to the next department?
Not from us, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll divert from our agenda. We were going to have Hess, but we won't have time to complete their budget. So the Hess budget, Alaska court system, and Labor and Workforce Development will have their presentations at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll divert to the corrections capital budget, since we do have the commissioner here, and it's a much shorter a list for presentation to get in time before we adjourn and hear the report from Senator Begich. With that, we will please identify yourself for the record and present your capital requests.
Good morning, and thank you for seeing us. I'm Joe Schmidt, Department of Corrections, and with me is Leslie Houston, Director of Admin Services. I thought I would touch the points in order of the bill for ease, and Leslie has a book of detail, so any questions that may come up, I think we're prepared to speak to them in any level of detail required. The first one is a $5 million request, FF&E furniture, fixtures, and equipment for opening Goose Creek. We are showing an additional 15 in out years. We hope for some reduction in that as the project comes to a close. We're seeking $250,000 for information technology disaster recovery equipment, remote servers in case we have some type of catastrophic failure of our data systems. Annual maintenance and repairs budget request $1 million. These funds are used to address our highest priority projects, generally life, fire, and safety. And finally, in the third year of our deferred maintenance funding program, we're requesting $5 million for 16 projects spread across the state. These are used to address failing or obsolete systems and/or structures related to life, fire, and safety as well.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, through the chair. Commissioner, for furniture in the $5 million, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money that could go to other things. I understand it's a new prison and there are costs, but to what end has the department looked at the stock of furniture that we have throughout the state of Alaska in various holding areas to try and use some of that? We do that here in the legislature all the time, make use of things that are in existence. Could you give me an update on that?
I understand. Could I have Leslie speak to that, Senator? Thank you.
Thank you. Through the chair to Senator McGuire, we have explored.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Leslie Houston, Director of Department of Administrative, excuse me, Director of Administrative Services with the Department of Corrections. We have looked at this. In fact, we are looking at these surplus equipment in the areas for our administration, both our inside and outside the wire administrative buildings. When it comes to inmate furniture, however, that is pretty specialized line of furniture. It's very durable, more so than what we would have with the admin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner, I don't see anything here for the AYK correctional facility. Have you resolved all the problems and everything? The space needs are all met and no need to request additional assistance there?
Senator, I cannot tell you that we've solved the space issues in YK. It is a crowded facility. Our budget does, we move some money from other maintenance projects to Bethel to try to keep up with the gym renovation and some other things we're doing. But Senator, that is all working within space that we already have that does not require new construction.
Since you and I both took a tour of that facility, the gym is being used for bedding now, so for space for correctional facilities. People are rotating three times a day for meals. They can't all sit down at the same time. So I'm wondering, what is the department's plans to correct the situation that is in dire need? Are we waiting for a lawsuit? Is that the way we're approaching the situation out in the YK Delta?
Mr. Chairman, I hope not. We certainly wouldn't go forward hoping for a lawsuit or trying to depend on a lawsuit. That is something that happens, sometimes, and it does push us in different directions. Hopefully we can be proactive and stay ahead of that. We have focused on our big project in the valley, and I know that does not speak to Bethel. And
what is your time frame to address that problem that is, in talking with the staff out there, you were there, they're under great pressure. The working conditions are deplorable. Not only are the inmates being being tested, but there's it's not a very desirable workplace. And I'm wondering, what is your time frame to address that? This facility has been on the list as the number one area to be addressed for over a decade.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
It seems to me, looking at this budget, last year's budget, we questioned it last year. It seems to me that the department is philosophy is let's just ignore it.
Mr. Chairman, I assure you it's not to ignore it. We have spent time there trying to make what we have work. If I could promise you that next year we'd have a request for a new building, I would, but of course I can't do that. I can tell you that we feel the most pressure from Bethel, and when there is talk of our next expansion or our next, you know, move, I don't know how it couldn't rise to the top of the list. I wish I could make a promise right now, but I just can't.
What is the time frame then? Do you have any time frame? Do you have any planning in the department to address the critical needs outside of the rail belt?
Senator, I'd hate to, commit ourselves to a number or a date right now. I think the best I can tell you is that's where we're feeling the most pressure, and I can't think of another place that would require our attention when we go to move next.
In your view, is that problem out in Bethel getting better or getting worse?
I would certainly not tell you it's getting better. We don't project that it's going to get better. It has stabilized to a degree recently, but, you know, throughout the year, sometimes our counts push and sometimes they back off a little bit. Right now we're at about 30 over, and it's, you know, we had a crushing expansion in our count about a year and a half ago, and we took some temporary measures thinking that it would subside like it normally does, and then for some reason this last cycle it did not, and it's been up. It's stabilized about where it's at, but it's more prisoners than what we were built for, and so that's where it sits today.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the explanation. I'm looking at the total outlay over a three-year period of time, that was $20 million. I was surprised that most prisons I've been in, the furniture is relatively sparse. There's not a lot of things around, obviously, and they may be well built, that's it there. And I was assuming that the construction contract would have put the toilets and sinks and things like that in place, so we are talking about basically furniture. So I'm curious at that number. That sounds like a lot of money for desks and chairs and things like that, $20 million over that period of time. I don't know if I'm looking for an answer to that or I just questioning how you could even spend that kind of money, I guess.
Through the chair to Senator Thomas. Let's say as a list of some, we could talk about some of the items. You know, of course, there's a big list there, but it's more than just furniture. Of course, it's computers and firearms and things. If it'd be okay if Leslie just kind of overviewed what some of those items are,
just so we know. Quickly, what we're talking. Give me a better feel for it, maybe.
Okay, thank you. Through the chair to Senator Thomas. You know, obviously, this is a brand new facility with the inmate, the bunks, the plumbing, everything is there. What we're looking for is, of course, to support our administration through copiers, all kinds of office supplies, all of our startups, information technology between computer workstations, software license, printers, servers, radios, two-way handheld radios, base stations, dispatch consoles, antenna systems, safety and security. We're looking at firearms for the armory, handguns, shotguns, pepper balls, ammunition, riot equipment, body armor, tasers, training protection suits, restraints, transport. This includes buses, vans. Kitchen, this is for grocery, meat, produce, all of our one-time startup items, serving and cleaning supplies for inmates. This would cover their clothing and their actual bedding and the laundry equipment, janitorial equipment. For our education programs, this would be the information technology systems required, books and supplies, vocational equipment and supplies. For our dental office, supplies, bibs, needles, syringes, cotton, tools, the cutting knives, aprons, bite wings, forceps, etc. Medical, can repeat about the same types of items. Mental health, our mental health materials, publications and assessments. Suicide prevention supplies such as blankets and smocks. Facility maintenance equipment such as bulldozers, loaders, dump trucks, graders, flatbeds, pickups, forklifts. snow removal equipment, and shop equipment and supplies.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. Well, through the chair, just following up on Bethel, it sounds like you went through, and I do remember an expansion, an emergency expansion, but it strikes me that that's what's needed again. And so I guess I assume you're going to come back to the chairman and talk to him about that, but certainly the capital budget cycle is not over. I'd hate to think we're going to go through a whole nother year without any initiative taken in that area. If we're already 30 to 35 inmates over, you've got staff who are intimidated. I worry too about potential litigation if something does happen and feel like maybe we're waiting for some kind of a crisis. So I'd encourage you to go back and think about that. If we can put $20 million in future out years and be thinking that proactively about, you know, backhoes and those kinds of things for Goose Creek, I don't see why that kind of thinking and energy couldn't be applied then to an emergency expansion for the Bethel facility.
Comments, Commissioner?
Through the chair to Senator McGuire, appreciate the comments. Certainly cannot argue if we can talk about a gigantic number like 15 more million over the next several years for equipment when we're talking about human beings. I got it. As far as another emergency expansion, like I say, our count has stabilized. We're still catching up with, we've got some fire marshal inspections and things like that coming to make sure that our plumbing is adequate and that the things we've done so far are working. But I can't tell you what the count's going to do, Senator. If it continues to climb, then we will need exactly what you said. So, thank you.
Final questions for the Commissioner. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, the concern, as I look through this whole list that's there, the concern that I have is that there's nothing that seems to be there for the Kotzebue jail situation, and I was wondering if you could update me on that. Partly what's so troubling is that this morning we had a supplemental budget presented, and Karen Rayfield said they were spending over $100,000 just in prisoner transport. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, could you just update me on what the Kotzebue jail situation is so that people in my district can have a better idea on what's going to happen if for some reason one of the suspects is incarcerated?
Okay. Through the chair to Senator Olson, thank you for the question. We were working with the Kotzebue community on the jail, and it closed for a time, and that closure caused Department of Public Safety to move about $106,000, I think, worth of prisoner movement back and forth. They reopened, I believe, on the second, Leslie. They reopened on the second after some level of communication. That doesn't guarantee us anything for next year, however, and we are mindful of that and respectful of the process and hopeful that we can continue to meet with Kotzebue and work that out so that the jail stays open to mitigate that in the future.
Last question, Mr. Chairman, has to do with when they call down here and ask what's going on, can I tell them that an agreement is imminent, or are you a long ways away?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't think imminent would be from my view, imminent wouldn't be appropriate, but we're not that far away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any final questions? If not, we will be adjourning this meeting this morning, and we will be reconvening at 2 o'clock to continue the overview on the capital budget, Senate Bill 160, with at least three departments, Health and Social Services, Alaska Court System, and Labor and Workforce Development. With that, we are adjourned.